Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, thanks for stopping by. We'll be taking a good gardening stroll shortly, but now, if you'd like to call with questions, ideas, comments, or whatever, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And I hope you had a chance over the last couple nights to look out your windows and see that moon. It's the harvest moon, and it is absolutely spectacular. It's just incredible to see the full moon. I mean, sometimes it's kind of softened off with a little bit of clouds, but the moon says, get out of my way, and starts pushing the clouds out of the way. And I mean, to see these moons, it's just been really great. It is Saturday morning. We get together for a discussion about what's impacting your plant material, whether your plant material is growing in your backyard, your side yard, your front yard, inside your house, or especially garden space, or, and what should you be doing? Should you be planting things in pots this time of year? Should you be doing your tulips and daffodils? No, don't be doing it yet. It's a little bit too early. And should you be improving your soil this time of year? Yes, by adding compost and compost blends and things like that. Should be pruning. Yeah, certain things you could be pruning. Don't be pruning anything that blooms in the springtime, because if you prune it now, you're cutting off the flower buds for next year. Should you be watching out for insects and diseases and things? Of course, always be doing that. And the information that I'll share with you hopefully will make your decisions a little easier and solidify your options. But of course, the final judgment and the action you're going to take is going to be on your shoulders. And by the way, this is your show, and I appreciate you inviting me into your home, car, or wherever you happen to be listening. Another very important player is James. He's producing. He answers the phone. All he needs from you when you call in is your first name. He'll put it on the computer, and then it'll come over on this screen here. And I'll be able to talk to you. I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting a garden hotline since 1994. I can come to your home to do landscape consultations if you like for me to. And this past week, I was at a home in South County off Telegraph. And wow, this was an elaborate circumstance, waterfalls and everything else. And I mean, the plantings were extreme as far as the amount of varieties of plant material and everything else. But unfortunately, some of the things, as I can constantly say, nobody seems a lot of times from a planning standpoint to think about maturity as far as size goes. And some of these plants were way too close to the buildings and houses and things like that. And it was going to be, some of them are going to have to be removed. There's no getting around it. But anyway, that's life. And so what? My landscape consultations are called Walk and Talks. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and there's my homepage with my email address and phone number. Probably best still, I don't have my computer up. It has been nothing but a nightmare. So anyway, if you just leave me your phone number, I'll get back in touch with you. Well, let's get moving. Today's stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Heading east on Russell, then I went to north on Jefferson, and then I went east again on Lafayette. And then I went north again on Missouri Avenue. Where is this? This is Lafayette Square. There's this great historic wrought iron fence with gates and everything else. And just as you step inside the gates, guess what? There was this tree that's been removed. And this is a special program through the Missouri State Conservation Department for removing trees in certain circumstances. And I saw there was a couple trees in Lafayette Square Park that had been done. And the waste can holders have the icon for Lafayette Square on them. And it's really kind of interesting. But, I mean, the massive trees in this park is just fantastic. They're all reaching out in all kinds of directions. There's an asphalt roadway, and then right coming off that is a stepping stone path. It spins and turns and does all this great stuff. And there is a dog, or there is a sign that says no dogs without leashes. And as I was just standing there making my initial notes, here comes somebody in with their dog, and the dog was on a leash. So it was just a good dog. And the first bed space backdrop with barberry and hydrangea. And then there was some Virginia creeper creeping around through some daylilies and iris, which were preparing for a seasonal nap because they knew their time is over and they were getting a little tired. But anyway, there's black-eyed Susans, and they were dancing with red and yellow coleus. The coleus really looks sharp and good. I mean, it was in bloom, so you know it's kind of headed downhill from that standpoint, but the foliage looked, you know, real nice. There's some amaranthus, which were shooting straight up like bottle rockets, near a hosta colony. Variegated ground covers from Lamium and others also all over the place. Transitioning out into the lawn areas. There's some great lawn areas. And then there's a nice bench where with some sponge rock there where you can just kind of sit and take it easy. And across the path from this bench, there's some sedum autumn joy. White blooming garlic was all over the place. I mean, this is a time of year when garlic is in bloom. So if you want something that's, maybe 10 to 12 inches tall with clusters of white flowers at the end of the stem, this is what you want to maybe consider as garlic. And as you step out and out of the shade, you can hear the ducks in the distance. They're over in the, you know, in the pond / lake here in Lafayette Square. And they were really quacking away. Now, at the same time, there was some fantastic-looking white-blooming fall anemones. There was also out here in the sunny areas, lamb's ear. There was ribbon grass. There was asters. There was milkweed. And they were posing in front of burning bush, which was really starting to turn some reddish colors. Maiden grass, the clumps were really looking good. Fall was really in the air as I started to head back for my car. It was just, I mean, squirrels were bouncing all over. I didn't see or hear that many birds singing. Lots of crickets, of course. But it was just a nice day, morning, to be walking in Lafayette Square Park. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Connect with KMOX on air, online. 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
To the phones we go. Let's head over to Alton and go into Marie's yard. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about two species. First of all, my crepe myrtle, I want to prune it. And do I prune it? I don't know if this is the proper term, but do I prune it above a nodule or below a nodule?
Oh, you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, and it's okay to prune it.
They're pretty tough and durable. The crepe myrtle, I mean, enjoy the flowering as long as it's flowering.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got all winter long to do the pruning because they set the flower buds next year after the foliage starts growing.
Okay, so should I wait until it's done blooming then?
Well, I mean, why not? Why not enjoy the flowers as long as you can?
I understand. Yes, that's beautiful. It's 20 feet wide, you know.
Whoa.
So, oh, yeah. Okay, and then my second species I want to address is I had a tree that I was told was a redbud, but it turns out to be, to me, a cherry blossom tree. It blooms for a short time in the spring, and it's beautiful, too. But is there another tree that, I mean, it's full of what appears to be cherries, but 2 weeks ago I went ahead and, you know, split a couple of them, and it's like, no, those aren't good. So is there, I mean, is it safe? Is there some other one that, you know, is so similar that you think it's a cherry and it's not?
My guess is from the way you're describing this, these are crabapple, or that's a crabapple, not a cherry tree.
Okay. That's funny. As far as I'm sorry. Because I was told it was a redbud years ago, and it's like, I mean, well, this isn't a redbud tree.
Yeah, whoever told you it was redbud, I mean, they would have pea pods hanging from them.
No, this is starts out looking like round little holly balls and then grows into, like I said, what appears now, you know, to be cherry, you know.
Right.
But you're saying, no, this is a crab apple.
Right, that would be my guess from your description.
Okay, and then, you know, the lower branches are so heavy, they're basically, you know, laying on the ground, you know. So I'm going to cut those, and do I cut them right next to the tree trunk, and what should I be careful about?
Well, depending upon how long they are, you might want to cut it off in sections. So you decide which one you're going to cut. Cut, let's say, half or a third of it off on the very end. That way you don't tear the bark. If you start cutting it just right at the intersection of the trunk or, you know, the whatever branch they're growing off of, it could tear the bark, and that could open up some wounds, you know, potentially for problems.
Okay.
Then you want to leave a stub of about any place between a quarter and a half inch. That's it.
Okay. And then once again, do I have to pay, or what's the attention I should pay to, you know, above nodules, below nodules, or whatever with it?
Well, if you're cutting it all, if you're cutting the branch off entirely, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. But if I go ahead and leave some, you know, because I don't want to kill it, you know.
Right.
But
if you just leave a stub, that's not to the advantage of the tree in general. So you're better off to cut it all the way back.
Okay, but you're saying cut it all the way back. However, leave it like 3 to 4 inches from the trunk?
No.
Tell me again. I'm sorry.
Like a quarter to a half inch.
Oh, okay.
So
gotcha.
You don't want to leave any kind of stubs at all. That just causes potential problems.
Okay. All right. So I think I've got it now. And then if there's, you know, like if there's some limbs, it's like it's grown out so far, some of the limbs. It's like, well, I really don't want to cut them back like I'm talking about those lower limbs.
Right.
But how would I go about, like, shortening them from 8 foot to 5 foot, let's say?
Well, you could do that, but again, it's spring blooming, so if you're going to do it and you enjoy the flowering, then I would do it right after it finishes flowering in the springtime.
Oh, so I need to wait on the ones that I'd kind of like to...
Right.
And just cut back some.
Yeah, if you prune them during the wintertime or in the fall, what you do is you're just eliminating potential flowers to enjoy the following spring. I mean, you can go ahead and do it during that time. You just reduce the amount of flowers that you get to see in the spring.
Well, I don't want to do that. So wait till after it flowers in the spring again.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so very much, and I do appreciate the program.
Well, great. Well, thanks for having me on your show. Let's head now over to Diane's. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Hi.
I have five or six hardy hibiscus that I put in about 5 years ago. The ones on the left are deep red, and the ones on the right are bright pink with a red center. I've never had any problems until this year. The red ones are, as they came up, the best I can describe is like rose rosette disease, because I've had that once in roses and got rid of the roses. But the head, the bud part of the stem would come out with little smaller leaves, curly leaves, and not separated enough from the other leaves. And when the flower buds came, they were also too close together. It's like the stem itself wouldn't provide enough length for all of the different plant parts to be separated. So as the flowers come out, they're very, very close together and interfering with each other. The leaves are a little bit distorted, a little bit curly, and smaller and very close together. What has happened to that? To those two hibiscus, the two red ones?
Basically, that's some pretty tough plants, so to have this happen, it's a little tough. It's probably a fungus-related thing because of our crazy weather in the springtime with all the rain and everything else. That would be my guess. But the hibiscus in general do like to have a damp soil, so
right.
It's not like they don't want to be necessarily growing in standing water. So I would say just leave them alone. Go ahead and do the normal pruning that you would be doing. And because they're summer bloomers, you can bloom them. I mean, you can prune them all the way up until the time the leaves start emerging in the spring and see how well they perform in the next year. They have this, you know, if they're having the same type problems, then there's something that's major wrong, and then they should just be eliminated and maybe some new ones put in.
Okay, because it's not affecting every branch on those ones. It's affecting more the ones that are closer to the ground. Now, that could be because those stems, it seems to affect the length of the stems, so it could be that those particular stalks didn't get far enough from the ground. The ones that are further up from that are taller tend not to have that problem on the same plant.
Right.
So
I still think the ones that are closest to the ground are probably the ones that emerged earliest, and it may just be related to our screwy weather in the springtime.
Okay. Would there be any risk to leaving them in until next spring and seeing how they do? If it's like a virus, could it spread to the other ones?
Well, potentially, but it doesn't sound like a virus. To have that mutated growth like that. Using virus, it's not rose rosette because, like you said, it doesn't happen on hibiscus. Your description is very close to what rose rosette looks like.
Yes.
But in essence, I would say these plants have nothing to do, usually I don't see too many problems on them any place I see them growing. So I would say just be patient, and it was just a quirkiness of our springtime.
Okay, will do. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. And let's head over to Keith. Keith lives in Collinsville. Hi, Keith.
Hey, how you doing? Over in on my subdivision here, we've got a real epidemic with the ash borer, and I'm getting ready to take one of these ash trees down, hopefully in the next week or so. And I want to replace these ash borers with a tree that I saw down at Busch Stadium on the southeast corner of the stadium. I'm trying to figure out what kind of tree it is.
Ooh.
Well, in fact, there are several of them, on like the south and the east side of, I'm guessing it's probably all around the ballpark, but I guess I could call somebody there and ask them
I take my good gardening strolls and stuff a lot at Busch Stadium. My guess is just thinking about it, are they kind of upright growing? You know,
they make a nice canopy, and and I was looking at a picture of the ballpark when it first opened, and they were maybe 8 to 12 inches in diameter. Now they're 2 feet in diameter, but they don't go that high up, you know, and they just look like a great tree, and I can't identify it.
Right, with it, I just You might take a look at, have you ever seen it in flower? Let's put it that way.
No.
Okay. So take a look at hornbeams, H-O-R-N-B-E-A-M. Hornbeam, take a look at that tree. And I can't think of what, it's just, I see so many trees and stuff, it's just a little bit difficult. But you could call, you could call down to the stadium for sure and ask them.
Hornbeam.
Right.
Okay.
That's my guess. You can check it out online to see if that's the tree that you're seeing down there.
Or next time you do a walk around, maybe walk around Busch Stadium, and then I'll listen next Saturday or something.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I don't know if I'm going to be walking around the stadium next Saturday, but anyway.
But, I'm looking at this dogwood I have, and it's kind of like a dogwood, they don't tower,
Right.
Okay, but I'll check out that hornbeam.
Right, just check that out. There's a couple different varieties of hornbeams. There's one that is used quite often along streets because it doesn't get really wide, so it doesn't get knocked apart by, trucks and street sweepers and stuff going up and down streets.
Yeah. All right, hey, thanks for your time.
Sure, my pleasure. Mike Miller, KMWash Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs football is back. The season kicks off this Sunday as they take on Arizona.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hear the game here, immediately following Cardinals baseball on your home for Chiefs football, KMOX.
Yes, folks, questions, concerns, or comments about your plant material, 314-436-7900. Or 1-800-925-1120. We have some phone lines open. This is a time of year, make sure this weather has been so goofy. I mean, don't let your lawns of any type, cool season or warm season, go through any kind of drought stress, because you know how screwy our weather is. It could really do some damage if they're going, your lawn is going into, well, really any plant material, but I'm speaking in lawns specifically right now. Go into our wintertime, and if we get a cold snap really soon and the soil is dry, that's major damage to root systems. So just keep that in mind. So keep watering. Let's head over to Ann's yard. She lives in Kirkwood. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
So I was at those amaranthus that you were talking about. Do those have a red bloom on them?
Some of them do. Some of them have yellow. Some of them have kind of a palish, you know, palish red. So, yeah, multiple colors.
And do they like wet or not?
No, they don't want to really be in really wet soil. They're pretty tough and durable. But they can handle damp, but they don't want wet.
Because I've seen these people have a lot of wet in their yard, and they have these tall, kind of spiky, and they bloom red, like right about now. I didn't know if that was them or not.
Well, amaranthus, they're basically annuals, so they have to be replanted every year.
Yeah, these are perennials.
Okay.
Okay. So my real question I called about is I have a bunch of hostas and I want to separate them. Is now a good time to do that?
Yes. I mean, they're basically, if they haven't finished flowering, as soon as, I mean, the flowering really doesn't do too much as far as, you know, to dig them up and, you know, divide them and transplant them or anything like that. Where some plant materials, you're more concerned with it, but with hosta, you're not really growing it for the flowers. The fact they have flowers, that's great, but you're growing them for the foliage. But, yeah, get it, get the areas that you're moving them to prepared ahead of time, then dig them up, let them sit above the ground for a day or so, and then you can divide them, making sure that you get some root system with some of the foliage that's above ground. When you put them in a new location, just make sure you don't plant them too deep. Plant them basically at the same level, and then you can cut the foliage off after you get them in the new hole.
Okay, so if I want to just separate some, can I leave some in the old hole and then just dig up part of them?
Sure.
Okay.
Sometimes, and then my other question. Well, I was going to say sometimes it's easier to dig up the whole clump and then just put some of it back.
Okay. And then my other question is, I have this climbing rose that I thought would look so great on my mailbox. Well, it's like taking over everything. Can I just prune it back, or should I dig part of it up?
Well, you can't really dig it up. I mean, there's not roses. This root system is not, you know, you can't separate some of the stems from the root system. That's going to be impossible. So pruning them back, and then with the climbing roses, they don't really like to be pruned because then that kind of messes up their flowering cycle.
Right. I guess I just need to weave them in and out.
Yes.
On something.
Right. Or maybe consider maybe that wasn't the best choice for my mailbox.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's head from Ann's over to Doug's yard. Hi, Doug.
Yes, I'm calling because my wife doesn't want to call because she doesn't like the way she sounds on the radio.
How does she know how she sounds?
Well, apparently she did it before and didn't like it.
Oh.
Two questions. Bleeding hearts. Any special treatment for transplanting? We're getting ready to have some landscaping, and we want to save these bleeding hearts. Anything special needs to be done with them?
Just water them the night before, dig them up, and I'd probably – are you going to put them back in the same location, or are you going to put them in a new location?
In the same general area.
Okay, yeah. So basically dig them up, maybe, you know, get some nursery pots and just put them in a, you know, black plastic nursery pot and just keep them well watered and then move them back to the location that they're at.
Okay, in this area we're going to have reworked. Right now we have mulch, and I refuse to use mulch anymore because mulch just turns into dirt, which leaves everything else to grow in it. The rubberized mulch, would that be okay, or would you recommend a medium-sized rock?
You know, in this situation,
it's a semi-shaded area, so.
Right. The rubberized mulch, I don't even know if you can get it, but anyway, if it's still available. But rock, in this circumstance, I think you should just understand that mulch is organic and it will break down slowly but surely. So that's kind of, I mean, bleeding heart really is kind of a, in the shaded circumstance, they like kind of a natural setting. So if anything, I would go ahead, you could use the rock. Don't put any kind of landscape fabric down, because that can be problematic from the standpoint. It prevents any kind of weeds from growing from underneath, but it doesn't prevent any kind of weed seeds from blowing in and then working its way down, you know, and then rooting through the landscape fabric.
Well, we had it done in our backyard, and if we go out right away as soon as we see the weeds, they've just barely got a couple of inches of roots, but it's just strictly in the rock, and you can just pop them up.
Right.
And the other question I have is, we had a burning bush. It was about 6 foot by 6 foot, and it died within a month. And it's 25 years old.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it died within a month. They did some, you know, how the one company's putting all the fiber optics underground.
Right.
And they trenched. They didn't trench, but they went underneath it, but they were about 3 or 4 foot from the base of it, but this burning bush died within a month.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it had to be physical damage to kill it that soon or that quickly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think what your analysis is probably pretty good.
Okay.
And thinking
right.
What the problem was.
Okay, don't know what the problem was, but we cut it down. We're going to have it taken out.
Right.
Okay, I thank you.
All right, great. And now let's see. Why don't we go over to Rob's yard? Hi, Rob.
Hey, Mike. I'm actually down here at St. Louis Compost. I got a question. Normally, every year, I get a couple yards of black gold and top dress my front and side yard.
Uh-huh.
But this year, I've got several spots, I guess, in the front yard where the grass has died. I think maybe I had voles or something. So I'm going to be dethatching that today and aerating. Should I, when I reseed, should I use the black gold to top dress it, or should I switch over to topsoil?
No, I would go ahead with the compost. So the black gold is fine.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Have a good day.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a lot of work, but... It's going to be a little warm later on in the day, but beyond that, you should be fine getting it done now. Let's go to John's. And John, how are you today?
I'm fine, Mike. I have several questions. One is I have some Rosa Sharons that I plant them in the same spot every year. They're by my deck, and they grow about 3 foot tall, and then they die. I don't know what's going on. I've dug out the soil about a foot down and about 2 foot wide and, you know, put potting soil in there because I thought that was the problem. This is my third year trying in the same spot. Do they need a lot of sun or?
Well, they do better, you know, in full sun for sure, but growing them in potting soil is not probably the ideal thing to do. You should, in the existing soil, just improve the existing soil with like a, you know, a compost blend is a better thing to do.
All righty. Okay, and the other thing is I'm thinking about transplanting some hostas around a tree I have in the front. Do they need a lot of sun, or can they grow in the shade underneath the tree?
No, they don't. If you put them in the sun, they're going to get sunburnt. So they're shade-oriented plants.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Okay, all right. And then my last question is, I cut my iris, about a week and a half ago. I know it was a little late for that, but I cut them all down to, about 3-4 inches. And now they're getting stems on them. They're getting new leaves that are about a foot tall. Do I wait another month and cut them off again, or should I just let them, let them die through winter or whatever?
Well, you could do either way. Pruning them back is more an aesthetic call than it is for the sake of the plants. If you have iris that are not blooming anymore and haven't bloomed for a year or two, then consequently those are just varieties that won't bloom in the future at all. So there's nothing you can do to make them bloom. They're just old.
Oh, okay. All righty. Okay, well, thank you very much. You answered all my questions.
Great. My pleasure. Mike Miller, KM Morse Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Larry's yard. Hi, Larry.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
After using Roundup as far as spot treatment, how much time would you recommend before you put grass seed down?
Really, the Roundup should have no impact on your grass. I wouldn't necessarily, spray and put the seed right down, but within a day or so, you should have no problem whatsoever.
All right. And one other question, assuming you have fescue grass, what is the last time that you should fertilize that type of grass?
Well, the cool season lawns, you can fertilize all the way up to basically almost Thanksgiving. So it's going to be weather dependent. So the warm season lawn, you should have already had your last fertilization. But with a cool season lawn, you start basically in, September, October, November, and then even weather dependent, you could even do it in December. And just the analysis, the best in that way to know what type of fertilizer to put down is to get a soil test, find out what nutrients are there and lacking, what nutrients are there and extravagant in the levels, and then adjust your fertilizer according to that.
Very well. Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's see. Let's go over to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Mike. Real quick, I'm thinking about top dressing my lawn with compost, but I have a large lawn. How are you supposed to spread that stuff? Because it's really the particles are way too big to put in like a broadcast spreader.
Yeah, a regular broadcast spreader. Basically, what you can do is just you're not going to get, an even spread with it, but just kind of throw a shovel full out and then use a leaf rake to kind of rake it.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking. That's going to be a lot of work. Okay, well, that's pretty much all I needed. I appreciate the info.
Right, but there are places that will sell, spreaders, or not sell, will rent spreaders that can do the compost. So maybe take a look at some of the local nurseries, or I don't know what part of you live in Collinsville, which is not really all that close to Belleville, but go down to St. Louis Composting and talk to them about it and see if they can help you out as far as a piece of equipment.
Okay. Well, thanks a bunch.
Sure. My pleasure. And Mary, can you do it kind of quick?
Hi there. Yes. Two questions. One, zoysia. We put down some new sod. When do you stop watering? I know it's rooted. And when do you start cutting it?
You should start cutting it basically when it starts elongating, and keep it at the about 3.5 inches this time of year. And keep it well watered as we go into wintertime. We've had some dry spells, and that's not good for it.
Okay. And the other question, I have a magnolia, but I call it a bush, probably 40 plus years old, about 20 feet tall. light green color leaves, and they're not shiny with white flowers. And this is the first year that I'm seeing these leaves, not a whole bunch, but I pick up at least 10 a day, where it looks like it's been bitten off from the end of the leaf, or sometimes the whole half leaf is gone. I look up in the tree and can't, there's still a lot of leaves on it, let's put it that way.
Right.
I cannot see anything like a caterpillar or any kind of a bug at all.
Yeah, this time
what do you
of
think
year,
it,
I think it might have been just weather damage as much as anything else. So I don't think it's much of a concern. A lot of trees are dropping foliage prematurely. Not necessarily they're going to look chewed off, but there had to be something that was there earlier that maybe did the damage that you're seeing. It's not something that's happening right now.
Okay. So don't worry about it, especially since there's so many other leaves on it.
Right.
And wait till the spring, see if it happens again next spring.
Yeah, just kind of, monitor it kind of closely in the springtime so you can catch whatever actually did the damage. But magnolias are pretty much damage, or there's not too many things that really do bad damage to magnolias just in general. So just the fact that you have some problem, I wouldn't worry too much. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after the news.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, I'll be giving the garden tip of the trowel real soon. But right now, you can give us a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with your ideas, questions, concerns, or comments. And by the way, thanks for having me on your show. We're here to discuss plant selection, caring for the ups and downs of annuals. Yes, you can deadhead some of your annuals if needed and keep fertilizing them because they still got a couple months where they can give you some neat shows as far as color-wise and aesthetics and everything else. Your bulbs, your cannas, your elephant ears and those sort of things, they're still looking really, really good. So it wouldn't hurt to fertilize them once more. Your edibles, your cool season vegetables and things like that, you can get those in the ground now. Or maybe from seed, you can start your lettuce and your spinach and things like that. Your houseplants, start watching them kind of closely for any kind of diseases or insects, because in the next couple weeks or a month or so, you're going to be bringing them back inside. Your lawns, your cool season lawn versus a warm season lawn, what do you need to be doing? We can talk about that if you'd like. Your perennials, do you need to be deadheading your perennials? Well, things like I have a lot of purple coneflowers, and you don't deadhead them because the finches love to come and eat the flowers. No, they're not eating the flowers. The flowers are already finished, but the flowers have been pollinated, and now they have seed, and the bird loves the seed. Your roses, your final seeding, final fertilizing of your roses should have already happened. And, just make sure they don't go through any kind of drought stress. Shrubs, trees, vines, or water gardens. I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take towards success, but strictly offered for you to consider. Across the big board, there's James. He produces, he pushes all the buttons and everything else and answers the phone. So when you call, he just needs your first name. I do landscape consultations, which I call a walk and talk. If you'd like for me to come to your home and answer all the questions that you may have, I'll also keep my eyes open for things that may be impacting your landscape. So that's you can go to my website, find my phone number, my email address, contact me, and then we'll set up a time that's agreeable. Tip of the trowel is a special recognition for individual, group or situation that's made an impression on me and is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Last night, Friday evening, Tracy and I headed into Clayton for the art fair. And wow, we found a place to park that was relatively close. We got there not too early, but she drove around a little bit, and then we found this spot, parked, and then we spent a couple hours walking. There are some amazing people with some of the artwork that was there. everything from jewelry to, you know, photography to just things. I mean, it was kind of neat. You know, when we got there first, it wasn't quite as crowded, so it wasn't, I don't want to say as insane, but you got to talk to some of the artists and everything else. And some of the techniques that these people have come up with were unbelievable. And it was just, I mean, some of the artwork was just fantastic. Now, some of it, you'd have to have kind of a large home to even hang, you know, some of the pieces. But a lot of it was just really unique. Tracy's very much into jewelry. She's done, she's had a jewelry, you know, booth and several different shows herself. And, it was just, it was a great time. So the tip of the trial goes out to, I think it's, you know, the art fair. It's in downtown Clayton. It's kind of neat to wander through the streets where normally you may go to eat. The restaurants and everything else are still open. And then there's also vendors there with food. It's just, you know, a great time. So tip of the trial goes out to there. So let's, why don't we take a call or so before we take a break? Let's go over to Tony's yard. Hi, Tony.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
I want to move a Japanese maple from one spot to another. How would I locate the, prepare the hole to move it? And how much of a ball should be taken from the existing tree?
Let me put it this way. How big's the diameter of the trunk about 4 inches above the ground?
Not quite an inch, maybe.
Oh, so it's still really small.
Yes.
Basically, probably doesn't, you know, if I don't know if you remember how big the root ball was when you put it in, but probably the root hasn't gone much beyond what it, you know, what it was originally. But probably what you want to do is go out about, let's say, make a hole that's going to be, oh, let's say 18 inches or so across in diameter and about one spade deep is what you're going to need to do.
Okay.
To dig it up. And then what you want to do is make sure the new place that you're going to plant it, that it's planted so the top of the root ball is a little bit higher than the surrounding ground. So if there's any settling, then it shouldn't be problematic.
I wouldn't have to take from the foliage a ball that's out, you know, within the foliage of the tree.
No, you don't have to go out to the drip line. That would be way too big. That would be, the root ball would be, even when you buy, you know, trees at nurseries, they don't, their root ball is not as, you know, it doesn't go out to the drip line. So you only need to go out, you know, what you're definitely going to lose some of the feeder roots by, you know, by digging it. But you're having the sort of like the main part of the root system that will produce new feeder roots, you know, by digging the size that I recommended.
Okay, thank you. Got another question. I have a dogwood tree, and I put it in as a seedling, and it's grown to about maybe 6-7 foot tall, and it's grown into a bush more than a tree. Is that natural for dogwood, or?
Well, it depends. You know, I mean, was it a seedling that you grew from seed that you knew from a regular type of dogwood? Has it ever flowered for you?
No, it hasn't flowered, and I got it as a, it couldn't have been no more than 6-8 inches tall.
Okay.
When I got it. It was a young seedling. It was a giveaway that they gave in St. Peter's.
Okay. Yeah, so I was.
What?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, another thing that's happening is I'm getting from underneath, I'm getting, I want to say, seedlings that are growing up from drippings, I guess, seeds from the dogwood tree. Is that natural?
Well,
it's growing into my lawn and.
Not really, because if the tree is not flowered, then you can't have seeds. So I'm not exactly sure what's happened with, you know, with
right,
you know, in this situation.
Yeah, I'm getting maybe. I'd say 10 to 15 seedlings that pop up in my yard from the roots of the dogwood tree.
Well, that dogwood of that size can't be pushing out that kind of, you know, they're not colonizers. So in other words, I don't know what you're having that's coming up in your yard, but it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with the seedling that you that you have.
Okay.
And, you know, the multiple trunks, that really shouldn't, I mean, that's, you know, kind of a rare circumstance.
Yeah.
So
it's not natural for a dogwood to do that.
No, for the most part, it isn't.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Sure. You know, sorry to sort of like, I mean, I'm not sure that that's, I don't want to say it's not really a dogwood, but it's not the normal type dogwood that we classically think. So good luck with that, Tony. Mike Miller, KMOR's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Trusted information, live and local. From the award-winning KMOX Newsroom.
Yes, folks, watch out for those weeds in your, you know, perennial beds, your shrub areas, your lawn and everything else, because it's a little bit late now to be putting a pre-emergent down, so it's going to be post-emergent control. So if they're broadleaf weeds and like a weed be gone type thing, and don't let them keep going because they're going to start, you know, causing problems, whether they're perennials or an annual cool season type weeds. So just watch out for that just in general. Let's head back to the phones. Let's go over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Have you ever, or are you familiar with an iris bulb that blooms in September?
Generally not. I mean, I guess they could out of sequence, but for the most part, they're not, you know, they're not fall bloomers. I mean, there's Japanese iris. There's Siberian iris. There's the regular flags that we, you know, that we normally think of iris, but none of those are ones that bloom late in the season.
Yes, I know. I'm just very surprised. This one bloomed in the spring, and all of a sudden, a couple days ago, I looked and it has about four blooms on it.
That's great. I mean, if you're seeing the buds and you're getting the flowers, I mean, it's just kind of out of sequence, and it's got to be weather related. So there's not too much you can do. Just hopefully it won't throw them off as far as blooming next spring.
That's what I was curious about. The other quick question I had, have you ever grown zucchini in a pot?
No, I haven't really. Not zucchinis.
Okay. Well, we have a beautiful bloom or two every morning, and then the bloom drops off, and we never have a zucchini. But every morning we go out on the deck, and there's this beautiful bloom. I guess I know that they need to be in the ground, actually.
But, yeah, I think for the most part, and so the ability of them to flower is different than the ability to, you know, for the flower to get pollinated so it can, you know, actually start setting fruit, zucchinis.
Oh, okay, well, maybe that's the problem because it is on the deck. Well, at any rate, thank you. My biggest question was about the iris. I've gotten a big kick out of that blooming.
It is great fun to see something like that.
Thank you for your show.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. And now let's head over to Bruce's yard. Hi, Bruce. Hello, Bruce? Oh, Bruce gone. Let's see. Let's go over to Tony's. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, my issue right now is I have a, I like to call it an heirloom. It's an old cactus. It's one of the type that's slender. It's like maybe five spiny ridges around it. And it, due to an injury, it produce two more. But what I want to know is this thing is getting really tall, which is fine, and I have it in one of these big buckets, you know, these big plastic buckets.
Mm-hmm.
It's thriving, but there are ants living in the soil.
Ooh.
I mean, tons of ants. And it's not like a little plant I can take out and, you know, rinse them off or anything and repot. So do you have any suggestions?
Well, you could just get an insecticide at your favorite garden center and just, you know, if it's one that needs to be mixed in water, just mix it and just pour it into the bucket or, you know, where the plant is actually growing and kill them that way.
Do you have any name of a product that comes to mind?
No, I mean, whatever your favorite garden center would have would, you know, I would just whatever, just tell them you've got an insecticide or you've got insects and some potted plants and whatever, you know, because if I'd give you a name, they may not have that particular product.
Well, that's true. Well, I appreciate that, you know, because this moving this thing in and out every year is quite an ordeal. But I love it. You know, it's been passed down for someone who's no longer with us, and, you know, I want to keep it.
Right.
Oh, one comment for you. I'm in a condo now, but when I was a homeowner, my neighbor had irises, and year after year, they would bloom twice in the spring and in the fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess maybe some hybrids do that.
It could be. I mean, and I may not be familiar with them.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, boy, I'd like to have some of those. Yeah, so I think there is a type that does that.
Oh, really?
Well, I know there is.
Well, but, great. Thanks, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for your help.
Sure. And now let's see, where should we go? Let's go over to Kathy's yard. Hi, Kathy. Kathy, are you there?
Would it be Debbie? I think maybe he pronounced my name Kathy.
Okay.
I told him Debbie. But while I've got you on the phone, I was calling about a banana tree. And this thing, I've got it in a 20-inch pot now. And it's probably 6 inches in diameter.
Right.
I measured the circumference of it, and it's like 17 inches around. And it's probably 10 foot tall. The stalk is at least four and a half foot. And then it's got the, you know, the huge leaves on it. And inside this pot is also a little, what they call the pup coming up. And it's a 2.5 inch diameter. And one of my questions is, what size pot does this need to go into next year? How do I separate the pup from the big one without killing it? And what we usually do is cut the stalk back and then take it out of the pot and put it down in our basement for the winter and then bring it up, and it's just grown huge. So where do I start trying to, you know, take this thing down to the basement?
Well, basically, you can leave it in the pot if you can get your pot into the basement. You don't necessarily have to take it out of the pot. You could leave it in this pot. You don't have to divide, you know, they're colonizers, so the sucker growth that you're seeing off the base, what you can do is just next year when the new growth begins, you can just kind of cut that, you know, off the, you know, look where it's coming off the root system / trunk of the existing mature one, and just cut that off, let it dry, and then plant that.
Oh, okay. Okay, we tried that last year with two smaller pups, and they both just kind of rotted and died. But,
let them dry up let that open wound that you cut, let that dry to the touch before you try to replant them.
Oh, okay.
So don't make the cut and then put them right into a potting soil. That's not what you want to do. You want that, you know, that division to let's say that open wound from the cut to heal before you try to replant it.
Okay, so that pup, so I wouldn't cut it now. I would cut it spring?
Yeah, I would just wait till the new growth begins in the spring.
And how about the big one? Should we go ahead and cut it like we've been doing?
Yeah, if you've had great success with it, and I wouldn't necessarily put it in a bigger pot because you're going to end up with, you know, just more and more and more, let's say, weight. As far as from the plant.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for that. And my other question was, I bought some of these petite knockout roses this year.
Sure.
And put them in containers. And to put them in the ground, would it be better to just keep them in the containers through the winter and then plant them in the spring in the ground?
Well, you could do that, or you can just grow them in containers. So in other words, for the wintertime, just dig a hole in your garden space and just drop the pot down into the hole, leaving about a top inch or so of the pot above the surrounding ground.
Okay.
And then just pull the pot out in the springtime, and then it should be okay.
Okay. All right. That's what I'll do. And thank you so much, Mike. Love your program.
Well,
love KMOX, too.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, the bananas, I mean, they're pretty tough and durable. So, I mean, the bigger the pot you put them in, they're tough to move around. So I'd keep it in at least a manageable pot size.
Okay, yeah, because we hesitate to dig a hole in the ground and put it in the ground. We like seeing it up on our patio.
Right. No, I agree with you.
Okay. All right. We'll take the advice.
Thank All right.
You.
Great. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Albert Pujols comes to bat.
Cardinals slugger Albert Pujols talks with Tom Ackerman Mondays at 9:50.
He hits a fly ball left field, and it's gone!
Exclusively on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Let's go back to the phones and let's take care of Bruce. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Mike?
Very good.
I've got a small Japanese maple. It's green. It's a lace leaf. And over the past couple of weeks, the leaves, the tips of them are getting brown and they're curling up.
That's just weather related.
Okay. So it's nothing really to, because it's young yet, you know, it's not real tall.
Right. Well, now the lace leaf one, if it's the one that you bought and it kind of looks like an umbrella, it's not really going to get too much taller than what it is. It's going to get a lot wider.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I was just concerned about the, because I love the tree. I have another one, a mature one, on the other side of the yard, and I just love it. So
right.
I was just concerned about the leaves turning brown and curling up.
Yeah, this is one is probably relatively young, and it just doesn't have adequate root system to go through these kind of extended drought periods that we're having.
And, yeah, okay. And I have been watering it, and I don't want to water it too much.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so it's just par for the course. All right, well, yep. Then I'll go that route.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. Now let's head over to Art's yard. Hi, Art.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate your help on these questions. Peach leaf curl, is that a weather or just an atmospheric? I know it's a fungus.
Well, if it's going to be a fungus, you're going to actually see something on the actual leaf. So it's probably not a fungus. I think it's probably weather-related.
Uh-huh. Okay. The second question, Mongolian and Japanese linden trees, is it a cutting, or how would you go ahead and propagate a hybrid plant?
So you have access to the tree that you're talking about?
Right.
So probably what you need to do is you need to get some rooting hormone and take cuttings, and I'd probably take multiple cuttings off the end of the branches, wait until the leaves fall off first, then make any place between 8 and 12-inch cuttings at a 45-degree angle, dip them in the rooting hormone, and then also then plant them in a potting mix for starting plant material in individual pots, like 6-inch or 4-inch pots.
And this is the final question. On soil science and pruning, would you think it might be appropriate to have classes, say, at the botanical garden that would go ahead and have individuals be familiar with the rhizome, the vascular system, and the various component parts as far as the pruning? Do you know the difference between a fruiting bud and a growth bud and how the lateral limbs would grow out from the trunk of the tree when you prune?
Well, I think, don't they have classes like that? I used to teach at the garden, and that's the kind of stuff I would teach. Or if somebody had a, there was a student or there as an attendee would have a question related to that.
Yeah, my brother and I, we got in a big argument. He says, you know, they take dry ice and they put it out on doggone cornfields and increase the yield with the CO2. He says there's CO2 in the doggone ground and the plants need that as a matter of inspiration. He says, plants breathe. They go ahead and photosynthesize. They give us oxygen, but they need the CO2 in the ground for to go ahead and propagate starches and sugars and so forth like that.
Well, great. Well, thanks, Art. Appreciate your thoughts. And now let's head over to Bob's yard. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Mike. I have two questions. One, we're intending to put out some small boxwoods and have looked at a particular boxwood called Kingsville Dwarf, which is, I'm not going to say the right word, but Compacta cultivar.
Okay.
Is that a boxwood that remains small?
Small meaning what?
To my knowledge, the garden centers I've been to, they say it will stay around a foot in diameter.
It may. You know, I'm not familiar with that exact variety, but that's pretty small. So if it's that much of a hybrid that it can stay that small, that's kind of unusual.
I was going to say it was going to be about
up to 2 feet, but 1 foot is pretty small.
Well, that's what I thought. That's why that I'd call you. But of course, the relevancy of a lot of this is, you know, the growth in the area it's in. I thought 12 inches for a buck. Well, would you have any other recommendations that would stay? So you're saying that it's possibly 2 feet in diameter.
Yeah, that would be a maximum, I would say, for a hybrid that's been, you know, a dwarfed, you know, type of hybrid.
Okay, okay. And one other question. We're sort of not landlocked, but restricted. We have an older Japanese maple that has gone bad. And, I agree with you about not planting something in the same place. We have no choice in this situation, and it's a very visual spot, and we'd like to replace that one with another Japanese maple. Any suggestions on how to go about doing that? I know I take the bad one. This one's died. Is there a way I can, like, clean all existing soil out, say, in a 3-foot area and then replace it with something from St. Louis Compost, or no options?
Yeah, you could create a raised bed over the circumstance. Just make sure that you get as much of the root system out as you possibly can, because the roots in that location, as they finally biodegrade on themselves, they can bind up nutrients and cause some problems from anything that's, you know, newly planted.
I see. Well, that may be extensive, because I think the caliper on the old one is maybe 4 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
So get as much out as you possibly can.
And then replace the soil with something from raised bed mix,
could do a raised bed mix, but I would mix that in with the existing soil.
Right, right. Okay, Mike, thank you so very much.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go to Don's yard. Hi, Don.
And Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions, and my first question is, I have two large azaleas that bloom in the spring of the year. They pink, and they are about 4 foot tall. I'd like to know whether or not, can I prune it back, because it's then got somewhat out of hand, because I moved here and they was already there when I come to the property.
Right.
And I like to bring them down some, and I don't want to hurt the flowering for the coming, for next year.
Right. So and, basically what you want to do is prune them right after they finish flowering. Don't prune them now.
Don't prune them now. Okay.
When they finish flowering, that's when you're going to do the pruning.
That's when you do the... All right. Now, my second question is, I have a dwarf rose tree. It's about 5 feet, and it looks like a little umbrella tree, but it's a rose. It's a rose tree.
Okay.
Do you treat it like you do roses, your regular roses, you know, like knockout roses? Do you fertilize them and do the same thing with them, for, you know?
Yeah, the care for tree rose, that's just a rose bush that's been grafted on probably a stem of, you know, some kind of fruit tree is basically what it is. So it's not the whole trunk that it's grown onto has been grafted. So consequently, treat it like a regular rose. Surviving, if you're leaving it outside for the wintertime, it could be a little bit tough.
Yeah, it's outside. It's been out for a couple of years, okay. You know, and it comes back every year.
Perfect.
Every year. So are you and no fertilizer no more for the rest of the year?
No, right. No more fertilizing this year. But next year, probably mid to late April, do your first fertilizing.
Mid-April, okay. I'll jot that down. Okay, and you can use just regular fertilizer for roses, like, you know, not no certain brand or no certain...
No, just make sure they're for, you know, it's formulated for roses so you can avoid some of the problems.
All right, that's my problem. All right, then, you answered my question. Thank you so much for your service.
Sure, my pleasure. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Let's back to the phones we go. Let's head over to Felix's yard. Hi, Felix.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for the program. I got a question. I'm having trouble in my garden with weeds growing. And I'm okay for the rest of the year, but I was wondering, after everything stops growing in the garden, can I spray those with something to kill the weeds before I turn the soil?
Well, basically, if you do that, the weeds have to be actively growing that you're trying to kill. So we're getting, as the days get cooler and the days get shorter, the effectiveness of herbicides is going to start going downhill. So, yes, you could, but you have to sort of make sure that they are, you know, in the downhill dying process before you turn them under. And if they're perennial weeds, you have to make sure that they're really dead before you work them into the soil.
Okay, so basically, is there anything I could spray them before they die?
Right.
And then once they're dead, then I could turn the soil?
Yes, you should be able to.
Okay, thank you very much. And that will not harm what I plant next year.
No, it should not.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, just make sure you read the label of whatever herbicide you're going to use to make sure there is no residual effect.
Okay, I'll go to a nursery and get something. Then.
Okay, great. And now let's head over to Paul's yard. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I have a pecan tree, a soft-shell pecan that I planted over 30 years ago, and it's always loaded with huge pecans that all the squirrels in the neighborhood like. But whenever they are ready to harvest, they are, when you break them, they're just black on the inside.
That's a tough one. It has to be related to the variety of the pecan that you planted. So, yeah, I know you planted it 30 years ago, but what you might do is give the botanical garden a call in relationship to that and see what they say.
Okay.
But I don't think
it was a
hardy,
soft-shelled.
Yeah, I think it's related to the variety of, in relationship to our weather is what the problem is.
But it is always loaded with pecans, and I cracked a couple open now, and the nuts look good on the inside, but whenever, like I said, when they drop and they're ready to out of the shell,
right,
or the skin, they are all black on the inside.
Yeah, that's kind of, I would give the botanical garden a call.
All right. Okay.
All right.
I will do that. Thanks for your help.
Sure. And Matt, can you do it kind of quick?
Okay, yeah. My mom's got a couple of crepe myrtles that are too tall for her. She wants them cut down. Now, I know they're fast growers, though. So if I cut them down to ground level now, are they going to reach the same height that they are now, which is about 6-7 feet? Will they get that high again in just one season, or will it take a couple of years to get that tall again?
It's going to take a couple years. They're not going to spring that much growth in one season.
Okay, because I was leery to cut them out because I was like, well, Mom, they're just going to get that tall again next year.
No.
But if it's going to take a couple of years, then I can go ahead and prune them down like she wants them.
Right, and you could always just cut them, let's say, halfway down and then see what kind of surge of growth that you get, you know, from the, let's say, the 3 feet, and then make another cut in a couple of years so you don't only have to do it in just one major cut.
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you very much.
Yep. And sorry, Jason Marie. Maureen, we can't get to you today, but thanks to everybody for calling. Don't forget the art fair in Clayton. Great stuff there. So, Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline. I will see you next week.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Albert Pujols comes to bat.
Cardinals slugger Albert Pujols talks with Tom Ackerman Mondays at 9:50.
He hits a fly ball left field, and it's gone!
Exclusively on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Let's go back to the phones and let's take care of Bruce. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Mike?
Very good.
I've got a small Japanese maple. It's green. It's a lace leaf. And over the past couple of weeks, the leaves, the tips of them are getting brown and they're curling up.
That's just weather related.
Okay, so it's nothing really to, because it's young yet, you know, it's not real tall.
Right. Well, now the lace leaf one, if it's the one that you bought and it kind of looks like an umbrella, it's not really going to get too much taller than what it is. It's going to get a lot wider.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I was just concerned about the, because I love the tree. I have another one, a mature one on the other side of the yard, and I just love it. So.
Right.
I was just concerned about the leaves turning brown and curling up.
Yeah, this one is probably relatively young, and it just doesn't have adequate root system to go through these kind of extended drought periods that we're having.
And yeah, okay. And I have been watering it, and I don't want to water it too much.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so it's just par for the course. All right, well, yep. Then I'll go that route.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. Now, let's head over to Art's Yard. Hi, Art.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate your help on these questions. Peach leaf curl, is that a weather or just an atmospheric? I know it's a fungus.
Well, if it's going to be a fungus, you're going to actually see something on the actual leaf. So it's probably not a fungus. I think it's probably weather-related.
Uh-huh. Okay. The second question, Mongolian and Japanese linden trees, is it a cutting or how would you go ahead and propagate a hybrid plant?
So you have access to the tree that you're talking about?
Right.
So probably what you need to do is you need to get some rooting hormone and take cuttings, and I'd probably take multiple cuttings off the end of the branches, wait until the leaves fall off first. Then make any place between 8 and 12 inch cuttings at a 45 degree angle, dip them in the rooting hormone, And then also then plant them in a potting mix for starting plant material in individual pots, like 6-inch or 4-inch pots.
And this is the final question on soil science and pruning. Would you think it might be appropriate to have classes, say at the botanical garden, that would go ahead and have individuals be familiar with the rhizome, the vascular system, and the various component parts? As far as the pruning, do you know the difference between a fruiting bud and a growth bud, and how the lateral limbs would grow out from the trunk of the tree when you prune?
Well, I think, don't they have classes like that? I used to teach at the garden, and that's the kind of stuff I would teach. Or if somebody had a, you know, there was a student or there as an attendee would have a question related to that.
Yeah, my brother and I, we got in a big argument. He says, you know, they take dry ice and they put it out on doggone cornfields and increase the yield with the CO2. He says there's CO2 in the doggone ground, and the plants need that as a matter of inspiration. He says plants breathe. They go ahead and photosynthesize. They give us oxygen, but they need the CO2 in the ground to go ahead and propagate starches and sugars and so forth like that.
Well, great. Well, thanks, Art. Appreciate your thoughts. And now let's head over to Bob's yard. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Mike. I have two questions. One, we're intending to put out some small boxwoods and have looked at a particular boxwood called Kingsville Dwarf, which is, I'm not going to say the right word, but Compacta cultivar.
Okay.
Is that a boxwood that remains small?
Small meaning what?
To my knowledge, the garden centers I've been to, they say it will stay around a foot in diameter.
It may, you know, I'm not familiar with that exact variety, but that's pretty small. So if it's a hybrid that it can stay that small, that's kind of unusual.
I was going to
be about, up to 2 feet, but 1 foot is pretty small.
Well, that's what I thought. That's why that I'd call you. Of course, you know, the relevancy of a lot of this is, you know, the growth in the area it's in. But
right.
I thought 12 inches for a buck. Well, would you have any other recommendations that would stay? So you're saying that it's possibly 2 feet in diameter.
Yeah, that would be a maximum, I would say, for a hybrid that's been, you know, a dwarfed, you know, type of hybrid.
Okay. And one other question. We're sort of not landlocked, but restricted. We have an older Japanese maple that has gone bad. And, I agree with you about not planting something in the same place. We have no choice in this situation. And it's a very visual spot. And we'd like to replace that one with another Japanese maple. Any suggestions on how to go about doing that? I know I take the bad one. This one's died. Is there a way I can like clean all existing soil out, say in a 3-foot area, and then replace it with something from St. Louis Compost or no options?
Yeah, you could do create a raised bed over the circumstance. Just make sure that you get as much of the root system out as you possibly can, because the roots in that location, as they finally biodegrade on themselves, they can bind up nutrients and cause some problems from anything that's, you know, newly planted.
I see. Well, that may be extensive, because I think the caliper on the old one is maybe 4 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just get as much out as you possibly can.
And then replace the soil with something from
Raised bed mix, no?
Could do a raised bed mix, but I would mix that in with the existing soil.
Right. Okay, Mike, thank you so very much.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go to Don's yard. Hi, Don.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions, and my first question is, I have a large, two large azaleas that bloom in the spring of the year. They pink, and they are about 4 foot tall. I'd like to know whether or not, is it time, can I prune it back because it's then got somewhat out of hand because I moved here and they was already there when I come to the property.
Right.
And I like to bring them down some, and I don't want to hurt the flowering for the coming, for next year.
Right. So and, basically what you want to do is prune them right after they finish flowering. Don't prune them now.
Okay.
When they finish flowering, that's when you're going to do the pruning.
That's when you do the... All right. Now, my second question is, I have a dwarf rose tree. It's about 5 feet, and it looked like a little umbrella tree, but it's a rose. It's a rose tree.
Okay.
Do you treat it like you do roses, your regular roses, you know, like knockout roses? Do you fertilize them and do the same thing with them, for, you know?
Yeah, the care for tree rose, that's just a rose bush that's been grafted on probably a stem of, you know, some kind of fruit tree is basically what it is. So it's not the whole trunk that it's grown onto has been grafted. So consequently, treat it like a regular rose. Surviving, if you're leaving it outside for the wintertime, it could be a little bit tough.
Yeah, it's outside. It's been out for a couple of years, okay. You know. And it comes back every year.
Perfect.
Every year. So are you and no fertilizer no more for the rest of the year?
No, right. No more fertilizing this year. But next year, probably mid to late April, do your first fertilizing.
Mid-April. Okay. I'll jot that down. Okay. And you can use just regular fertilizer for roses, like, not no certain brand or no certain.
No, just make sure they're for, you know, it's formulated for roses so you can avoid some of the problems.
All right, that's my problem. All right, then, you answered my question. I thank you so much for your service.
Sure, my pleasure. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Let's back to the phones we go. Let's head over to Felix's yard. Hi, Felix.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for the program. I got a question. I'm having trouble in my garden with weeds growing, and I'm okay for the rest of the year. But I was wondering, after everything stops growing in the garden, can I spray those with something to kill the weeds before I turn the soil?
Well, basically, if you do that, the weeds have to be actively growing that you're trying to kill. So we're getting, as the days get cooler and the days get shorter, the effectiveness of herbicides is going to start going downhill. So, yes, you could, but you have to sort of make sure that they are, you know, in the downhill dying process before you turn them under. And if they're perennial weeds, you have to make sure that they're really dead before you work them into the soil.
Okay, so basically, is there anything I could spray them before they die?
Right.
And then once they're dead, then I could turn the soil?
Yes, you should be able to.
Okay, thank you very much. And that will not harm what I plant next year.
No, it should not.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, just make sure you read the label of whatever herbicide you're going to use to make sure there is no residual effect.
Okay, I'll go to a nursery and get something.
Then. Okay, great. And now let's head over to Paul's yard. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a pecan tree, a soft-shell pecan that I planted over 30 years ago, and it's always loaded with huge pecans that all the squirrels in the neighborhood like. But whenever they are ready to harvest, they are, when you break them, they're just black on the inside.
That's a tough one. It has to be related to the variety of the pecan that you planted. So, yeah, I know you planted it 30 years ago, but what you might do is give the botanical garden a call in relationship to that and see what they say.
Okay.
But I don't think
it was a
soft-shelled. I think it's related to the variety of and relationship to our weather is what the problem is.
But it is always loaded with pecans, and I cracked a couple open now, and the nuts look good on the inside. But whenever, like I said, when they drop and they're ready to out of the shell,
right,
or the skin, they are all black on the inside.
Yeah, that's kind of. I would give the botanical garden a call.
All right. Okay.
All right.
I will do that. Thanks for your help.
Sure. And, Matt, can you do it kind of quick?
Okay, yeah. My mom's got a couple of crepe myrtles that are too tall for her. She wants them cut down. Now, I know they're fast growers, though. So if I cut them down to ground level now, are they going to reach the same height that they are now, which is about 6-7 feet? Will they get that high again in just one season, or will it take a couple of years to get that tall again?
It's going to take a couple years. They're not going to spring that much growth in one season.
Okay, because I was leery to cut them out because I was like, well, Mom, they're just going to get that tall again next year.
No.
But if it's going to take a couple of years, then I can go ahead and prune them down like she wants them.
Right, and you could always just cut them, let's say, halfway down and then see what kind of surge of growth that you get. You know, from the, let's say, the 3 feet, and then make another cut in a couple of years. So you don't only have to do it in just one major cut.
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you very much.
Yep. And sorry, Jason Marie. Maureen, we can't get to you today, but thanks to everybody for calling. Don't forget the art fair in Clayton. Great stuff there. So Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline. I will see you next week.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.